energycreditmonitor.com, where you can find out more about James Norman, get in contact with him, and you can also you can jump 800-556-2012 or any good bookstore for The Oil Card. It's a great read about global economic warfare in the 21st century. And Jim's taking some extra time. He stuck with us for another segment. We're talking about why oil prices are so high. We talk about the China-U.S. relationship, the battle of the pocketbook. I guess you would say global inferred wealth, the United States' ability to move massive amounts of money and being the staple and the reserves for all the other countries as relates to China's production power. And Jim, when we were coming up on break, you were talking about that China oftentimes is forced because of their infrastructure and because of how much it takes to move wheels, basically, in their country, that they oftentimes, that's why they're some of their products and services are so cheap. They're just literally trying to raise capital or cash to keep their system afloat. Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, really. Well, the way to say, they're on a treadmill. They have to keep their people employed, and they have to export. In fact, China, their exports, it's like 40% of their economy. That's like triple most other developed countries. They desperately depend on the ability to export, which is why if the United States keeps lowering the value of its dollar, that's deadly for the Chinese, because it reduces their ability to export goods and still make any kind of a profit on it. This is the problem. We've got them squeezed between a falling dollar and rising input costs, and oil is a big one. You know, they just can't grow a big industrial economy like that without ready access to affordable energy, particularly motor fuels.
Okay, but you got to walk me through this here, Jim. Okay, you got the dynamics as I see it. It's like the United States is, the value of its dollar is going lower. That means other countries' dollar are investing in the United States real estate and businesses because they're getting more for their dollar in the exchange. But the economy in the United States is faltering because of the higher fuel prices too, which affects the price of fuel worldwide. And China therefore isn't able to grow as exponentially as we would fear they would grow.
Right. And think of it this way. You know, in the United States, when we buy oil, we buy it in dollars. Oil is priced in dollars. The Chinese are buying oil with a currency that's probably 30% undervalued. So they've got an automatic problem right there.
Okay.
Secondly, they have to buy the stuff from mainly the Persian Gulf or West Africa. They have to ship it halfway around the world in other people's ships through waters we control. They pay through the nose for that oil. We buy our crude mainly from Canada and Mexico. A lot of it comes by cheap pipeline. We are able to buy relatively cheaper grades of oil with more sulfur, heavier weight stuff. The Chinese, they need to buy the best kind of crude. They refine it into less valuable products. In fact, they burn a lot of it just to make electricity.
Right.
They spend about 8 or it'll be more like 10% of their GDP on petroleum. We spend, even now with prices as high as they are, we're barely spending like 4% of our GDP on
fuel,
energy imports. So, okay. You see, we could play this game all day and all night with them, frankly, and the higher prices go and the longer they remain this way, the more strain there is on the Chinese economy.
Well, at some point though, there's two things that are going to happen. There's got to be a trigger somewhere that gets pulled, and they either say that's enough, we're going to fight because we're being backed into a corner, or what is the other option?
Well,
continue to take it and collapse.
Let's look back at what happened to the Soviet Union. I mean, everybody was worried about nuclear war and all that, but it ended up they just like went away. They like disappeared into the woodwork overnight. Not a shot was fired. The thing just went away. I mean, it's possible,
Jim,
you could see
Jim,
something
it didn't,
like
though.
That happen.
But I don't think it did, Jim. Look at him now. Look at Putin. Look at, I mean, the fortune that he personally has amassed is just beside the point. It's based on oil. His fortune is based on oil, which is they're getting more dollars, and same with the Arab nations. They're becoming rich beyond belief. And
that's right, and we like that, and let me explain why. The greatest threat by China is not to Japan or to Taiwan or to the United States. It's to the Russians. China wants Siberia, and they could just take it, frankly. The Russians are not in any position to prevent the Chinese military from just taking Siberia unless they went nuclear.
Okay.
And they can't do that. The problem...
Why can't they? First of all, why can't they?
Because of the numbers of people. I mean, the Chinese outnumber the Russians in Siberia more than 100 to 1, and the Russian military is not in the shape to stop them. And so here's the thing. We basically have been encouraging the Saudis and the Russians to get together to restrict oil production and push the price up. And we like that. The Russians are on board with us on that page of the hymn book. Now, there's a lot of other things we don't get along with the Russians on, but the Russians, if you look at what Putin has said consistently, it's oil, oil, oil. That's what the Russian economy is still extremely dependent on. And that's why the Russians are on board with this, because they see how vulnerable they are. They've refused to build a pipeline into China. That's a key choke point for the Chinese. They've refused to let the Chinese buy into Russian energy companies in any great way. They've kept prices very high. So the tables have turned here from being an oil victim in the 1980s. Russia has now been a great beneficiary of this, and we like that because it basically enhances their strength versus China.
Okay, so these other countries like Iran and Iraq and Saudi Arabia, they all know this, correct? They've all figured this out, right?
Yes, they have. And in fact, it's amazing. The bald-faced statements, the open statements made by the heads of state, foreign ministers, the leaders of so many of these countries, that has not been reported to the United States, they're all screaming about how the United States is arbitrarily keeping oil prices artificially high.
Okay, to what end? When's it going to end? And are you saying
this could go on for a long time. I mean, it took a decade, really, to break the Soviets, and they were a much weaker foe than China in this. I mean, this could go on for a decade or longer, and it's going to involve many fronts, not just oil, but it'll be other raw materials. You're going to see currency gyrations. It's economic warfare being fought on many fronts.
So you and I just got to get used to the prices?
Yeah, get used to it. You don't like economic warfare? Well, consider the alternative.
Okay.
It ain't pretty.
Okay, so are we going to be able to... Is there any chance that we will start drilling? Really? And what about... And we don't have tons of time, but what about... We gave China a lease to drill off of the United States and Alaska? Or 100 years diagonal drilling. What about that?
No, I don't. We didn't give the Chinese any leases off Alaska.
Well, I've been reading some articles that report, and I'll look into it again. But that there's a lease that off of Alaska that they have a lease to drill. It's a 100-year lease that they've acquired.
I don't think any such thing exists.
Okay.
But basically, you're going to see a continuing tight supply of crude. There's going to be no shortages. Everybody's going to have gas at the pump available, but there's going to be no surplus of oil floating around on the market. And we can control that, but all you need is the Russians and the Saudis together, and all you need is restraint by the international majors. And you've seen amazing production restraint by the international major oil companies, despite the fact they've got a torrent of cash coming in the door. They don't know what to do with it all.
All right, folks. You heard it here first. News Radio Magazine's Weekend Edition. James Norman, author of The Oil Card, Global Economic Warfare in the 21st Century. EnergyCreditMonitor.com is the place you want to go to take a peek at that. If you want to call the direct line, 800-556-2012. We'll post it at the website, too, folks. See you next time. Do you love pictures? If you're like me, you love to look at quality pictures of your kids. Hi, I'm Kevin Liger, and the best way I know how is to call Brandon Henry from Silverleaf Portraits for a free in-home portrait consultation. He and his wife specialize in fine art paintings and fine art photography. With three kids of their own, they believe that family is the most important thing we have. So give them a call at 253-321-4302 or visit silverleafportraits.com. That's 253-321-4302 when you're ready for a portrait memory. We'll be right back.
The same great folks who bring your kitchen countertops to life, Counterfab Plus, now do cabinets. That's right. Not only is Counterfab Plus your headquarters for granite, silestone, swanstone, Caesar stone, zodiac, and corium top quality countertops, but now you can get your whole kitchen made over with top quality Counterfab Plus cabinets. Remember, wholesale prices, on time, every time. That's the Counterfab Plus difference. Call 866-355-1339 and ask for Kevin, or click on counterfabplus.com.